It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered today to celebrate this thing called life. Dude, there was a recent episode of New Girl that Prince was on as himself. It was very weird.
For some reason, I was just thinking about, not him, but the song Purple Rain. For some reason today, I was just thinking about that, and then you mentioned it. I never think about Prince or his music. I didn't like his music.
Though?
I've never really liked
really?
It. Really? No, honestly, yes. I could not, to this day,
Are
I can't figure out.
Sure, Prince isn't your spirit animal?
To this day, I can't figure out why he was ever popular or why. I just didn't think his music was anything to, you know, go crazy about.
Well, now we're going to get our podcast shut down. Let's move on.
But for some reason today, I was thinking about that song. I have no idea why. And now you bring up Prince.
Oh, that reminds me.
What?
There was something I was going to tell you before the podcast started, but I can't now because the podcast has started. So, everybody, plug your ears.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. We have established an elaborate set of podcast hand signals for things. So, anyway, hello and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is featured prominently in the new sequel to 300 that's coming out in theaters soon. Watch the movie. Our podcast is featured prominently and integrally into the story. It's very impressive.
I hope they cut my part out. Cause
No, I don't think so.
I hope they did because it was kind of embarrassing.
He's embarrassed about the nudity, but it was in the contract. So I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 153. And about the nudity, the thing is, I
thought it was tasteful.
Okay, but here's the thing. I said no. And then they put me in one of those green suits and told me it was because they were going to put in some CGI stuff and not to worry about it.
That's
and then
true.
What do I see in the screening? But so they kind of tricked me.
It's technically not your nudity, but it's your nudity. It's pretty funny. anyway, what episode did you say what episode this was?
Yeah, 153.
All right. I'm really high on pain meds at the moment, so.
All right, so that's the thing. You need to explain what's
yes,
been going on
we're
for
gonna,
the next couple
yes.
weeks.
There's going to be most of this episode is probably going to be taken up by an explanation of why the alternate universe people had to take over last time. But
and it's too bad because alternate universe William sounded like he was high.
Yeah.
Like he was, I don't know what he's doing.
High on taking pennies. anyway, for
he doesn't take drugs, does he? No, just the pennies. That's
yeah,
right.
That's the only difference. And the goatee.
That was weird.
Anyway, for those of you who are just joining us tonight, probably won't be like normal. But the way it normally works here, we have a hat. It's magical. It is magical in that it has its own email address. Have you ever heard of another hat that has that? No, you have not. The address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Our listeners, lovely, wonderful people, write to that email address with topics, comments, questions, things like that. No big whoop. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within inside the hat itself. We, as its human counterparts, draw out those note cards randomly from the whole of all the note cards. And read them on the air and talk about them until we're done. Do it for about an hour. That's the whole show.
And unlike the film that we're going to be in that's going to be coming up recently, yes. We don't use special effects.
No, we don't even use normal effects.
No, it's just what you hear is what you get.
We have zero effect. So how was your 2 weeks, William?
Well, I really, a lot of what you're going to talk about, I haven't heard yet either. You've been kind of...
That's what makes it exciting.
Holding it back. So I'm very curious to know what's been going on with you.
I haven't been holding back. I've just been high.
Well, okay. So let me think. I guess I could say something.
Well, it's been 2 weeks. Surely you have done something. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Not freezing to death is a good start.
We did
it's
see...
It's so cold.
It's been cold, yeah.
Today, actually, what? Above freezing today, right?
Well, yeah. 39 degrees last I looked. It got pretty...
I don't think it's going to last. I think tomorrow it drops down again.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go to Des Moines on Saturday, but it's supposed to be bad, so I don't know if I'm going to make it. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, we saw Ender's Game, like, last night
or
something.
Oh, did you? All right.
But I don't have anything to say about it. I mean, it was okay. I wouldn't say I liked it.
Did you read the book?
Yeah, I
did. Did you read the book recently?
Not recently.
I think that's a good idea not to do that. I have learned...
It was
read
like
the book after the movie so that you can enjoy both.
Yeah, well, it was like a lot of movies based on books. It seemed like it wanted to cram a lot of things in, and it just felt rushed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even read the book, and I felt that way. So, but, I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great either.
I still haven't seen it. I'll get around to it at some point.
Seems like, you know, a lot of the things we've been seeing in the house lately are about, you know, the teenager in the house hasn't seen certain things that have cultural impact.
Oh, you need to see that. Yeah.
So, like, I think in the last 2 weeks, or maybe it was even before we met last time, and I don't remember. No, I think it was in the last 2 weeks, we watched Rosemary's Baby.
Oh,
never
yeah.
Seen that.
Producer and I watched that on Halloween because we had never seen that.
The original Stepford Wives.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
see,
yeah.
See, she'd
yeah.
never seen that. And we've got Galaxy Quest in the queue because she's never seen
oh,
that. Even though she's a huge original series
yeah.
Star Trek
and
fan.
And that's for, that movie is for that.
Yeah. So, but really, had we shown this to her even like 5 or 6 years ago, she wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah. No,
because she's sort of a recent fan of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And also, she was a fan of Monk, and Tony Shalhoub is in the film, and you kind of appreciate. So, really, you know, maybe we could have shown it to her a year or two ago, and she would have gotten it. But much earlier than that, I don't think she would have appreciated it. So, that's in our Netflix queue. So, that's kind of... And that's really why we watched King Kong and Godzilla and stuff, all that stuff, because... She was just curious about these things.
Yeah.
You know, they were out there in the culture. She'd never seen them, and some of them we'd never seen. So most of what we've been watching at home is all really about that. Just
playing any video games?
Just Diablo still.
Just Diablo.
Because, you know, it's one of those games that you play over and over
again.
Oh, yeah. Because there's the, I think I mentioned it in the other podcast in a confusing way, but, you know, you've got an easy level and then a little bit harder, like 4 or 5 different levels of difficulty.
Yeah.
So you can play it over and over again.
And especially in co-op, I find... I'm more willing to do that. Somehow it's less boring and repetitive to do the same
yeah,
thing
isn't that
if
weird?
It's with somebody
isn't
else.
Isn't that strange? But that's true. That's very true.
I don't know, because, yeah, you talk about it. You're going, phone's ringing. We're not going to answer it because we love you more.
Yes.
Because it's all the way in the other room. So hopefully it's not anything important.
But, you know, it's, and I think I said this last time, it's a fun game to play multiple times. So
my friend Ben... His file in that game got corrupted, and that was apparently what he needed to finally push him over the edge to buy a PS4.
Wow.
He was on the verge forever. Every day I talked to him, he's like, I almost bought one last night. I went by the store, I saw him, or I almost bought one, I saw a commercial for a game. And then one day he came in and he said, my PS3 Diablo file went corrupt, so in a fit of frustration I went out and bought a PlayStation 4.
I can't, I mean, you know, my work is going well and everything, so I don't really have a lot to talk about, but But that's about it, I guess.
All right.
So now we get the story.
Well, so you want to know how my 2 weeks have been. All right, people. Picture, if you will, Sicily, 1929. No, as those of you listening last time it was this dimension, I was scheduled to have my MRI on Monday. I believe that was correct.
Yeah, I think something.
And like that. I did. I went in near the end of the day. I think I took off work at 3 to get there for 4 o'clock MRI. Have you ever had an MRI?
Oh, no.
I had not had an MRI until this. They are thoroughly terrifying.
Well, that's why I responded the way I just did, because I can't imagine. I don't think I would like it very much.
Well, two things to note with this reaction. One, I don't tend to get claustrophobic. And two, I was facing such that my head was the part that was out. But it was still terrible because the machine makes many, many, many different noises. And every single one of those noises sounds like something has gone terribly wrong and the machine is about to explode.
Yeah.
It does not make any noise that sounds like a normal thing. At any second, I kept expecting them to come in and, like, drag me out of fear that we were all going to die. It's just most crazy, loud noises, and you have to hold totally still, which is really uncomfortable. I had what I'm told is a fairly short MRI. It was only 20 minutes, and it just really, parts of me really ached coming out.
Okay,
of that.
See, that's the part. It's not the claustrophobic aspect, because I'm not typically that way either. What it would get me is having to be still. I mean, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And that's a short one?
Yeah, supposedly.
No
a lot of time
way.
Much longer.
And yes, I do understand they're very noisy, and I just think...
They're terrifying noises. Yeah, you think about, like, the sound on TV when you set off the self-destruct on something. That was one of the most common sounds the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think it... I can just anticipate. I mean, at first, nothing about it would bother me, but I can just anticipate over time it getting worse and worse and worse, and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's the part that... freaks
well,
me out
but
is...
you can, though. They have an emergency thing. I had a little, like, sphygmomanometer sort of bulb, and they said, anytime you freak out or whatever, squeeze that and we'll come in and we'll get you out.
Mm.
Now, ultimately, I think that would just reset things and you'd have to do it again for 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's...
But they say it's really loud. Do you want earplugs or do you want headphones? Because they can put in Pandora. Which I had them do, and I'm so glad they did, because if I didn't have music, I would have gone nuts. But I also couldn't really decide, so I told them to go with electronica, and what I got was some fairly loud dubstep, which really did not do well at relaxing me in the process. Although, ironically, I'm pretty sure I heard a song that just the day before I had actually purchased on iTunes. Apparently I was really good at holding still, because they said they got really clear pictures, but... like, just my left leg was kind of uncomfortable when I got it in there, and it just got worse and worse, and I didn't move it for the whole time.
Yeah.
But so then when it was time to get out, it was like, I don't know if I can remember how to move it. And yeah, so I was hobbling out. But anyway, so I get this done.
Yeah.
It goes pretty fast. They told me, said, probably 48 hours. You'll hear from your doctor. Probably about 48 hours. I go home, straight home. I'm home for maybe 15 minutes, and my doctor calls. They already got him the pictures and everything, just right away. And what he says is the pictures definitely show stuff really wrong, and enough that he showed it to some spinal specialists, and those people freaked right the fuck out and said, he needs to be in here now. Please send him to the emergency room. My doctor and I were both like, nothing has changed in the last few days. Like, it's been the same for, like, 2 months, so it's probably not as big an emergency. I mean, it's clearly serious, but it's probably not that big. But I'm like, you know, I didn't have any plans tonight. And and he's like, yeah, it'll calm people down. So I went to the emergency room. First time ever I go to the emergency room with people expecting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there, and I'm like, I'm Anthony Parsons. I think you expect me. And they're, oh, yes. And they brought me right back and everything, and everybody's really worried. and constantly surprised that I'm not doing really bad. Because actually that day, my pain levels were a lot better than they'd been in a while. And they're like, do you need a wheelchair? I'm like, no, I'm walking fine.
Okay, so now what precisely was wrong?
Well, we're going to get to all this.
Oh, okay.
This is a process.
This is me sitting back and just being quiet.
Exactly.
Okay.
All questions will be answered. All
right.
It's going to take time. You have to understand, this is like 3 days of adventure here.
Right.
So,
I'm just being conversational.
Which is your first mistake. Yeah. But anyway, so they take me back.
And my last.
And they're really freaked out, as I believe. I don't know how explicit I got in the details of my issues. In addition to major pain issues here, I had things like numbness in parts of my body that are covered by my swimsuit area, as they would say. I actually had a couple bouts of involuntary urination. And these, of course, are the things that freak people out.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, because this is it, it's neurological, and then we're all freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And the MRI did not help this issue. What I have, or had, now, we never got this as an official diagnosis, but it was essentially this, so it's easier to talk about this way. Something called cauda equina. Those of you who regularly watch Rizzoli and Isles may remember that somebody's boyfriend on that show got this, and it paralyzed him in a wheelchair at the end of a season. And then at the next season, he had had, quote, some experimental treatment, and he was just fine after that, and they never mentioned it again. So, yeah, that was fun. It's also, it covers a range of stuff that's really fucking scary. And in this case, what it meant, what it is it's basically a herniated disc, which we're all familiar with. We have our spine and our vertebrae and stuff, and in between are our discs, which are the cushy things that keep everything nice and flexible in there.
Mm.
And usually those are the things that go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When people have back problems, they got bulging discs, they got slipped discs, you know, that kind of thing. Herniated disc means the rubbery, fluidy stuff of the disc has, part of it has full-on gone out of where it's supposed to be.
That sounds terrible.
But what makes it special, really fun, in my case, and what makes it the cauda equina thing, which is Latin for horsetail, is that it has herniated itself directly into your spinal cord.
And that's why it's causing...
Yes, because basically it has pushed away, out of the way, all of those nerves.
Okay.
It has said, go away, spinal cord, I'm here now. Instead of bundles of nerve endings that basically run your entire body, we're going to have jello.
That really sounds frightening, actually.
It didn't sound that scary to me until they showed me the pictures.
Oh.
They showed me, and you can definitely see where all the stuff came out from down there between L4 and L5. Lumbar vertebrae, if anybody's curious, is where this happened. But they show me that on the side, and I've got a picture of that somewhere, and I'm like, yeah, that I don't really understand, but that's not good. Like, there's a squishy thing sticking out. But then they show me the cross-section ones,
mm-hmm.
and he says, okay, here's your vertebrae, here's the disc, here's your spinal cord, and it starts going down through the cross-sections. And at a certain point, I said, where's the spinal cord in this picture? And he said, exactly. There's like two pictures where it's just not there anymore. It's just replaced by disc.
Okay.
And we're like, well, we know it has to still be connected in some fashion because, you know, my legs work.
Yeah.
But you can't see it. So this is what they're freaked out about. So what happens after that is they're all coming in. They're giving me the neuro tests that I've done so many times in my life. I had to do them for sleep study too. Many of you may have experienced this where they say, push with your toes on my hands, and then they put their hands on top of your feet and say, pull up, and they run a pen under your feet and say, can you feel that? And they test your reflexes and all that stuff. They're checking to make sure your nerves are still firing the way they're supposed to. And I'm doing fine on these. And they keep wanting it to be worse than it is because it looks so freaky.
Yeah.
So, like, they say, so the last time I urinated involuntarily was about a week ago. And they're like, so it happens about once a week. I'm like, no, I think it's happened two or three times. Just the last time was like a week ago.
Mm.
So they just constantly are surprised that it's not worse than it is. And they don't know if they're going to do emergency surgery in the middle of the night or if they're going to wait till tomorrow morning. But they got to do something. Like, when I talked on the phone with my doctor, he's like, yeah, surgery is what's going to happen here. And I'm like, great.
Do you know when it occurred? When the...
No, that'll be in the story, too. Oh. But we don't really know.
Yes, I'm supposed to be quiet.
It's a mystery. But the short answer is no, we don't. So we're trying to figure out when that is. And then the decision kind of got made because they found out that I ate food just before I showed up. Because my doctor said, you know how long you can sometimes wait in an emergency room, maybe eat dinner before. So I did. I didn't eat much because I was freaked out.
Right, but that means you're not going to be able to have surgery.
Because yes. They told me back surgery, and in my mind, with back problems, back surgery is your last resort, and it's terrible. And I'm like, they're going to fuse some shit together, and I'm going to lose mobility forever. And so I'm freaking out. So I ate something, so now they're like, okay, we can't do this. No, but the surgery, they explained to me, they're not fusing anything. Basically, they go in there, they cut out the little bit that's splooched its way out, and then everything has room again, and then everything plays nice. It's called a discectomy.
So they just take the disc out?
No, they just take the part that has squirted its way into the spinal cord out. Now, it's still tricky, because they got to move the nerves out of the way and make sure we don't, you know, cut any of those or whatever. We got to get to it. But, you know, they just take out the offending bump, and then everything has room. And they tell me, say, we do these about once a week. So, this happens a lot. So I go in, it's like 11 o'clock by the time I finally get a room. And they're like, we don't have any food around here, but you're only allowed to eat till midnight anyway. And then you can't eat or drink any water or nothing by mouth anymore. I was like, that's fine. I'll go to bed. Sent the producer home, which was hard to do, but I got her to go home. I'm like, you're going to sleep in a chair. You're going to be uncomfortable. There's no point. Because we found out they won't do it any earlier than like 8. And so she's like, okay, I'll be back by then. So then she leaves. They didn't know when. Because, of course, they hadn't made an appointment because nobody was expecting this. And there was a guy in front of me who apparently was in way worse shape. So they were going to deal with him right away. So we don't know. So we're just hanging out. It's really kind of annoying. They're giving me Percocet for pain in my back, which, you know, I'd been taking Valium and Vicodin. They're giving me Percocet, which longtime listeners may remember as the drug I got so into my doctor had to stop returning my calls. Also, the drug I got so into that I hallucinated a bat for 3 days until it became real.
You actually talked about this just a couple shows ago because I asked.
That's the stuff. Percocet. Crazy, amazing stuff. Anyway, so they got me on this, but I can't eat. I can't eat. Finally, at one point, we get to where I can take a shower, which is tricky because, especially in the mornings, I'm all bent, crooked and stuff. I've been taking my showers at night because I can't do it in the morning. But so I go in to take a shower. I come back from that, and Trish says, well, they're finally here, and they said 5:30 p.m. is going to be the surgery. And I'm like, that late? And she's like, yep. And I'm like, 5:30. Okay, so 8 hours before. So 9:30. So I can eat up to 9:30, and I look at the clock, it's 9:40. So I went a very long time without eating, and I was really bored in the hospital. And the producer was there with me, and she was bored, but she wasn't about to leave. And somewhere around here, I think it started Friday night, I started sending out emails to people, which is really a fun experience to have to send things out to your family and coworkers and loved ones to say, I'm not going to be at work tomorrow, blah, 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 emergency spinal surgery.
Right.
And I called my parents and they're freaking out. Apparently my mom was already making plans that if they needed surgery, she was going to fly out here to be with us. But I'm like, well, little late now. So yeah, we're calling everybody. Apparently I hadn't even told the in-laws about the MRI because I call them and I'm like, so the MRI did not go well. And they're like, uh-huh. And there's a long pause. And then Trish is like, I'm not sure they knew about the MRI. And I'm like, did you guys know I was having an MRI? And they said, no. I said, oh, okay. Had an MRI. Didn't go so well. Both mothers are nurses, so it's extra weird. I used the phrase cauda equina, which was a terrible idea because my mom just looked stuff up on the internet. Never good. But so, yeah, so I'm having to tell coworkers I won't be there. I'm telling my gaming group because we meet the next day. I'm like, I'll be in surgery when we're supposed to be gaming. I tell everybody except William because no reason to tell William.
No.
William, it's not like I'm going to see. We wouldn't have the podcast till after the surgery anyway.
Right.
I'm like, so there's no point in worrying him. But then I'm like, technically there's no point in worrying my family. And we don't do that. And my family, because it has come up, there are other people we have heard of, people who have major surgery and don't tell their family till after it's over. And we're like, that's terrible. We'd never do it. And I'm like, yeah, and if William did that to me, I'd be really pissed off. And so like 2 hours later, I was like, okay, damn it, I got to tell him.
Look, here's the thing. I realize you've got a lot other more things to worry about than to talk to me, and you've got more important people to communicate it to. But yeah, if I found out after the fact or something, that would be upsetting. I would understand, you know, I wouldn't be mad or anything, but I would be like, what? This happened and I didn't know?
Well, and it was the knee-jerk reaction. I mean, everything is the way you expect it. If you were in the same situation, your first thing would be like, why spare? Like, you know, they're just going to stay up all night waiting or whatever. Mm. We'll spare them that. But then you're like, no, I can't do that. And yeah, not telling you is pretty akin to not telling my family. And I'm like, no.
So well, I was glad to know.
William got his own special email.
Yes, that was nice. Thank you.
And then the next day was just everybody waiting around. Like, everybody in the world who knows me. They're like, any news yet? Any news? And I'm like, oh, Trisha's going to update you. We put together a master list so she didn't have to email everybody in the world. So we had, like, here's a person from the gaming group. Here's a person from work. You know, here's heads of each family. So, like, you know, they can get it. But so it finally happened. 6:30 was when it started, finally. And I don't remember getting the anesthesia. Usually I do. Usually I they're like, okay, we're going to do it now, and they would do it. I do remember we had to move me, and that sucked. Like, I had to actually scooch up a little bit on the bed. Mm. And so the guy said, how about this? I'll give you this first injection, and that'll start kicking in, and then it'll be easier for you to move. So I remember he did that, and I didn't feel anything. And we finally moved up, and it was a little bit painful. And a few minutes later, I remember saying, okay, now I'm feeling it kicking in. And then that was it. And I woke up, I believe it was 1 a.m. on Wednesday
when I woke up. How long did the surgery take?
It ended up being about 6 hours start to, I mean, not the surgery itself, because there's lots of pre-surgery and post-surgery stuff. Yeah, but the time I was away from my wife was about 6 hours, which everybody had different estimations as to how long it was supposed to take, but way less than that. The estimations usually came in at about 3 hours, maybe four. I, to this day, have never spoken to the surgeon.
Really?
Yes. Didn't meet him before, didn't meet him after.
Really? But wow.
The producer did.
Oh, okay.
And he told her, and she did not tell me until a day or two later, until we were sure everything was all good, that it was way more complicated than they thought in there. And I think just where all the nerves were and how to avoid them and stuff was way more complicated. So that's why it took so long. But everything went well. It just was harder for them. So, yeah. So, Wednesday, 1 a.m., I wake up so I can go back to bed. And Trish is in there. By this time, it's my third room I've been in. And this is the first room I've got a roommate who's a crazy man.
Why are they moving you around?
Partially because this kind of stuff doesn't technically have a room, a wing.
Oh,
and partially because it's the hospital, so I'm sure, like, they needed this bed and this wing, and so they had to move me. And so they had me in a really nice private room. Then they moved me to an even nicer private room. And then I woke up from the surgery in a really cramped room with a roommate. And none of those chairs that turn into beds, and that's where Trish had to sleep. So Trish slept really uncomfortably in chairs. Every once in a while I would look over and she'd be sleeping or she'd be on her iPad. I finally woke up Wednesday morning, and finally we eventually got the okay for me to eat. But it's a thing. They can't just say like, oh, no, I was ready. No, I'm awake. The surgery is done. We're not sending me back in. There's no symptoms that indicate I shouldn't. So then we call the doctor and the doctor has to say okay, and then we can call the people. So they finally did that. And then it was awesome. Because they hand you a menu and they say, call 123, that's dining services, order whatever you want.
Right.
And you can order whatever you want. So it was like 9 o'clock and I got a bacon cheeseburger, French fries, chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
And by that point, my stomach had kind of adjusted, and like I had gone through, on Tuesday, I had gone through like major hunger pangs for a while. But at this point, my stomach was just like, oh, apparently we're going to starve to death, so whatever. But then once I ordered, the time between when I ordered the food and when it was delivered was the longest of my life. And then eating it was like 3 minutes, and I don't remember what any of it tasted like, but it was wonderful. And so then I got the parade of people. The whole experience in the hospital is a parade of different people doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's one guy came in the night on Monday night to do an EKG. I might have imagined him. Like, so little did he touch my life. He showed up. I had to take off the robe so he could stick some things on me. He was there for 2 minutes. He took the things off. He left. Like, maybe he stole my soul and he doesn't even work there. I don't even know. So many different weird people and things. Tons of them after the surgery. Because we had whoever was the attending on the floor. We had a bunch of students helping out. We had people making rounds. We had the occupational therapy person. We had the physical therapy person. We had the discharge person. All sorts of people.
Are you going to have to do physical therapy?
Yes.
Huh.
But first, the main deal was... the physical therapist is the one who has to sign off on me being able to leave. Basically, we need to prove I can stand, I can walk, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we did that. Went really well. It went, in some ways, like, you know, a few hours after the surgery, I was walking better than I have walked in well over a year. So I did that. It was tiring, but we sat back down. Occupational therapist came in, gave me all of my cool toys. I have a lot of cool toys. I have a grabber, like I'm an old person.
A grabber?
Yeah, a grabber. You know, like you can't reach something, so you have one of those. Because here's the thing.
I thought you already had one of those.
No, for the next 6 weeks, I have some rules.
Oh, right.
I always have to be wearing my brace, which I'll show you afterwards. I'm sitting down, but I'll show you later. It's kind of cool. This is cool. It's a pretty impressive brace, and it has... all these things you hook in and make it tighter and all that. I like it. But I have to wear that whenever I'm not laying down. I can't bend over for 6 weeks. I can't lift anything over 5 pounds for 6 weeks. I can't drive for 6 weeks. All this kind of stuff. So I need tools. So I need a grabber because I can't bend over and pick up stuff. I have a stick to wipe my butt. That's what it is. It's remarkably ingenuity, like it's made out of plastic and it has the thing so you can hold, but you wrap toilet paper around it, you reach around behind yourself, you get rid of it. It's so dumb, it's terrible. But anyway, but I have the grabber, which is cool. I didn't get the shoehorn because all of my shoes are just easy slip-ons, so didn't need it. And then I got the thing for putting on socks.
Yeah,
the thing for putting on socks is one of the coolest things ever. It's sort of a half cylinder with ropes hooked to it, one on each side, and you put the sock on the half tube,
mm-hmm.
put it on nice and tight so it's all the way down on the thing, and put it on the floor, put your foot in, and you pull up with the ropes, and it slides the sock onto you, and then the tube comes out the back. It's awesome. I may continue to use it after I'm better just because it's awesome. So that thing is fun. They're giving me all the drugs I'm going to take, which is more Percocet. And I don't even remember what it's called, but there's this other drug. And at the time, they're really kind of vague about what it is. They're like, this will help with any muscle spasms or anxieties you might feel. Why does this? Come to find out much later, apparently it exists. There's like two drugs like this. Purely it exists to enhance the pain meds. So somebody was like, Percocet is not doing its job. We need something to kick that up a notch. And that's what they've got me taking also. And so I did the walk, so then I'm good to go. Except, you ever have a catheter?
No.
I had not ever had a catheter either. I had a catheter. I was asleep when they put it in. I'm very thankful for this.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't realize I had it. Just no, didn't. All I knew was that I hadn't had to go to the bathroom in a while.
Yeah.
And somebody mentioned it. I'm like, what? And so I feel around, I feel a tube. I'm like, oh, my God, I do have a catheter.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even notice. So the students come along eventually, the student nurses,
mm-hmm.
and they got to take that out.
Oh, no.
This poor guy. The girl gets off easy. She's messing with my IVs and that kind of stuff. And then the guy, first of all, he gets the job of taking my catheter out. Really thankless job. Really not fun. And then he has to go dump the urine that I did in the toilet, in the bathroom, in the room. And according to his story later, during the debriefing, the container cracked just as he was going to pour it into the thing. So he got it all.
Oh, no.
He had a terrible day. They all, like, the whole thing just convinced me I would never want to work in the medical profession. They were all so wonderful people, and I would hate to be paid to do what they were doing. I mean, I wouldn't even want to do that to my own body, yet let alone a stranger who's just as gross as me.
Yeah.
But, so they take it out, and then I have to pee.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I feel an urge to go to the bathroom. I mean, I am required by law to urinate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to leave until that happens. I'm on a bunch of pain meds. I just had spine surgery. And they're telling me, you can't leave until you pee. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a while. And Trish and I both, because we both really wanted to get out of there.
Mm.
So we actually got a rotation going. There were three cups. And one was filled with ice water. And one, I would drink one. And I would hand the empty one to her, and she would take the one that had ice, and she would fill it with water, and she would bring it back while I'm drinking the third one, and I put it back down, and then she would be getting ice for the other one. We had a rotation. I'm drinking as fast as I can. I probably had, like, 9-10 cups of water in the space of less than an hour. Just drinking, 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 and finally managed to get the hell out of there. It was a hell of a time. But so now, I'm at home. And I can't do nothing.
Which works for you.
It did for a little while. It's starting to wear on me.
Okay. Wow. That was fast.
Well, and there's a question of how long it's going to be, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as they told me at the time, what they said was at least 2 weeks before you go back to work. And then we'll see. And maybe you start up a little part-time, see how it goes. But at least 2 weeks. And then we'll see how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm feeling fine.
Okay.
Walking's amazing. I still walk a little weird, but you remember me, well, for the last year, if not longer, more than a few minutes standing or walking, I would get numbness in my legs.
Mm-hmm.
I can walk a really long way now, and it's fine. I haven't had that in years, which is the thing. Because some of that existed pre-injury. My injury in March, you know, at the gym.
Yeah, right.
Some of those conditions existed before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this kind of thing can be a gradual process. So, clearly my injury had something to do with it. But it's possible this was starting even before that.
Mm.
It's possible I've had the beginnings of this for years.
Mm.
So it's a wonderful weight off there. But so, yeah, the meds are making me tired and stuff like that. But in general, I'm feeling good. It's only been a week.
Yeah.
So then we do all the paperwork and everything. And the paperwork, as it stands now, basically says I have to wait 6 weeks to go back to work. When I have an appointment with them again in 6 weeks, which is when they'll take a look at everything. And my HR is sticking by that now. They're like, if you want to come back sooner, you have to get different paperwork. So I'm really kind of unhappy about that because I'm starting to get a little sick of this place. Because I can't drive myself. So I'm just here all day.
Yeah.
And I'm taking meds, which sounds fun to be with. But nowadays I'm just spacey all the time. And I get tired a lot because of it. So I don't know. So next week I may fight with them. So I'll at least be here another week. But it might be up to, you know, 5 more weeks. I don't know. coincidentally, my appointment is for the anniversary of our podcast on March 17th.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, so I've been here. So I played Red Dead Redemption for a while, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys play it?
No.
I didn't think you did. No. It's fun. It took me a little while to get the hang of it. The shooting, the riding the horses. Riding the horses is tricky. And integral part of the game, of course. It was fun. I don't get it. Like, it's not hooking into me. I played probably about 8 hours worth. And I finally said, we all need to stop fooling. I'm here at least for 2 weeks. Skyrim.
Okay.
So I put down Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
And I started Skyrim.
Okay. And this was the first time playing it?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes. It was going to be after I finished Red Dead. I was finally going to start it, but I was like, we should stop messing around. And of course, you know, right away hooked me. In a way that Oblivion never did. I think when I first played Oblivion, I played the sort of opening, and then I stopped for a couple days. No, this hooked me immediately. And I've just been playing buttloads of Skyrim. Recently killed my second dragon.
Mm.
I have a house. Thank goodness I have a house.
Yeah.
That was a pain. I needed stuff to put places.
Do you have a spouse also?
No, I don't have a spouse yet. I have a house, Carl.
Yeah, right.
Which sounds like a weird, kind of dirty millennial term, but it's actually a much older Nordic term.
You've got the cheapest house, I take it.
Yes, yeah. That's basically the only place
I've been hanging out. White Run or wherever it is.
White Run's where I've been hanging out. And I saw the Greybeards and I went to get the horn and then the king and horn and then I went and so now I've killed my second dragon. Which is kind of what I was shooting for, because I figured now dragons are just sort of going to be around and shit.
Yes.
So now I'm just not going to touch the main plot for a while.
Yeah.
And I already joined the companions and so anyway, it's fun. It's really fun. I'm already sort of changing how I thought I was going to play it. I was planning on doing like a lot of sneaky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not going to do that. I was planning on not doing any archery. I think I'm going to do that. I'm kind of into hunting.
Mm.
But the problem is I'm trying to do all three of the crafting skills, which is hard to do, but I just really enjoy them. Smithing especially. I'm obsessed with smithing. But so yeah, I'm playing all those. And I'm really kind of trying to get a roll this time,
because
I feel like I can do that. And I'm playing I'm playing a very fiercely sort of independent character. In fact, I'm on the verge of getting rid of a companion, like not having one with me, because it just feels more right. And it means I'm not going to be able to carry nearly as much loot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of them. But it just feels better, so I don't know. I feel like I'm not very strong. I've died quite a bit. I'm level 10, I believe. We'll have to see. They made a lot of changes into the way Fallout had things. The companions, the lock picking and all that. And those were all really good ideas. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And since I don't really have a life, I'm just making a fake one there for the moment. I don't think I can do it for 6 weeks, though. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. It is Skyrim.
That is true. If any game could do it.
Yep. It's that one.
But yeah, so that's all the stuff. Oh, and here's the bullshit. Whole time I was at the hospital, apparently Azure Talon was there.
I was going
to
bring that up.
He's in his 3 to 4 week thing right now where they clear everything out. Apparently he was there. Didn't find out until I got home. Could have hung out with him while I was there, but also can't really hang out with him now because I can't drive.
Yeah.
So, damn it, boy.
He's doing well, though. I mean,
I think so.
That's what it sounded like when I spoke to him on an email. His family was coming to visit, and they had a little fender bender or something. And he needed one of us to suggest a garage or something, and so he emailed us. And I didn't know one, but you did. So
yeah, I did. I have one around here. Like Dodge Street Tire, if anybody's in the area. I like them a lot, Dodge Street Tire.
So you got that taken care of. But in the meantime, I mean, I asked him a few things about what was going on. And, you know, it sounded like he's responding to the treatments well and tired and stuff. You know?
Guess this means he probably won't make it to GammaCon, which is really sad because he's, like, right here.
Mm.
But GammaCon is weekend after next. I've got that all straightened away, so I'm all set to go. I missed it last year because of my injury. It happened right before GammaCon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of excited to go this year.
It's a week from tomorrow?
Yes. 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Because I think Dave Avid put something in, like an invitation in Google Plus or something.
Oh, yeah, so I think so. He's doing...
It pops up every once in a while on my feed.
He's doing a whole thing. He's taking a lot of the smaller indie games, and he's just going to have GMs ready with those games on demand in various slots. So you just show up and like, which of these do you want to play? I'll run it. So this is his first year doing that, so it'll be cool to see how that goes. I am not signed up for any of those, though. I may participate in some of those. But I'm signed up now for 3 games. All 3 of them run by people who are either friends of mine I hardly ever see, or people I have very much wanted to meet for a long time. And 2 of them specifically in gaming systems that I have been very curious about and unable to ever play. So I'm pretty excited about that. This is GamaCon's pretty much my chance to play instead of run things. So
Is this the kind of thing where, let's say that you're a novice, I mean, could you go here and find
some... Absolutely, absolutely.
Because, you know, since it's a convention, maybe the people there don't want newbies around.
No. This is not that kind of convention. No, there's all sorts of new people, lots of introductory stuff there for people. Most stuff is not particularly advanced, I would say. They actually have, on events, they have an experience level rating on the program list for the events, and most stuff tends to be novice. The boys from over at the Quad Cities are going to be running the Grindhouse again, the giant tower with its rotating floors and everything they built ages ago. That's a giant free-for-all battle in Pathfinder. They built it. It's an amazing construct they made, and it's just basically a King of the Hill battle with a bunch of Pathfinder characters, and it goes on for like 8 hours. And so people just come in, they play, their character dies, they get another one, they leave for a while, whatever. It's pretty awesome. This is the 3rd year they've done it, and it's very popular.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, we have mostly eaten up this episode with my spinal surgery.
As I anticipated we would.
As did I. But we have a little time, so... Hat?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Draw.
All right, this is what's from Azure Talon.
Azure Talon. Wow, we were just talking about you. Wait, Azure Talon or more emphatic?
Probably more emphatic.
3 exclamation points?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's digested too, so...
Gross.
So, brace yourself. I said that one just for you. Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking app.
That's us.
Let's see. Chicken wings are good.
Mm-hmm.
Flats are best. The Vine makes good wings. Discuss. Flats? Is that like a restaurant?
I don't know. It could be... okay, we're going to get this wrong, guys, because we don't know. But my drug-addled mind has one theory. Are flats the part of the chicken wing that's not the drumette?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I don't know if I would agree with that. But I learned a technique while back with those parts, because there's 2 bones in that, and so it gets a little tricky. And so, but somebody found out you sort of bite the ends, and then you can grab a hold of the bones. Like, grab one end of this bone and the other end of the other bone, and you twist like this, and it sort of separates all the meat, and you can just pull the meat off, and then just have meat.
I really have no idea what you're talking about, but that's okay.
Back when you still ate meat, did you eat chicken wings? Back when you still ate meat, chicken wings weren't really a thing yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Chicken wings are a big enough thing now
that
it's more expensive to buy chicken wings in the store than to buy a chicken breast.
In fact, I'm not completely sure what chicken wings are. I mean, I know when I ate chicken what a wing was, but yeah. Whenever I see like commercials or ads, it doesn't look like the same thing.
Well, growing up, chicken wing in my household, I think in most, is what it is, has 3 parts to it. Like, you could take it and make it into sort of a Z.
Well, yeah, that's right, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
There's the big part that you could break off, and it looks like a drumstick.
Okay.
And then there's a little tiny part that comes to a point.
Right.
And then there's
the middle part. There's a part in the middle, right?
Yes. The little part that comes to a point,
yeah.
Throw it out.
Throw it out.
Not used.
Okay.
At all. The other two are chicken wings, and they come individually, not connected anymore. If you got six chicken wings,
mm-hmm.
there would be six things in there that would either be that drumstick-looking part or the other part, or combination of both.
I see.
But six, so you could have like three of the drumstick part and three of the other part, or who knows what. And I know the little drumstick part is referred to as a drumette. And I believe, historically, are considered the best chicken wing because I think they are the most convenient. They are thought to have the most meat.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part is good, too. So that's what chicken wings are.
Hmm. Well, you know, when they first sort of became a thing, they weren't even called that. They were called buffalo wings.
Yes, because they were invented in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
They had a special way of doing them that was a very spicy sauce that they would dress them in, which, depending on who you talk to, some people say it was just Tabasco sauce melted in margarine, and that's what they sauced them with. Sounds horrible, but it doesn't taste... I can't deny it when I taste them, actual, like, buffalo sauce. I can't deny that it could be that kind of thing. So, yeah, originally that was the thing. It was chicken wings dressed in that kind of sauce was a particular dish called buffalo wings.
Well, but also separating them out like that was part of it, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think so. And that was it. And so both things took off. The concept of eating the chicken wings took off, and buffalo sauce took off.
Mm-hmm.
So now you find buffalo sauce in a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with buffalo wings.
Mm, okay.
Buffalo chicken everything. Buffalo chicken sandwiches, very common. Buffalo chicken wrap. Buffalo chicken flavored potato chips, I'm sure exist out there.
Because I remember being confused by it because, you know, like I said, when it first happened, I had already been a vegetarian for some time at that point. But also, it was already popular, at least in the Midwest. I don't know if it's a regional thing or what, to actually eat buffalo meat.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure. So it seemed like I thought that it was like a processed meat product from buffalo, made in the shape of a wing, like chicken wings or something. So you could.
Well, that's why anything made from buffalo is always referred to as bison, though.
That's true.
So that you don't get confused. Because if I said a buffalo burger, people would most likely expect a hamburger with buffalo sauce on it.
Really?
I think so.
That's
but if I say a bison burger, then they expect it made out of buffalo meat.
I see.
Wings can be tricky because, well, especially if you're somebody like me who doesn't really care for a buffalo flavor, because there's having a good chicken wing, and there's having good sauces, and the two don't necessarily travel together. In my opinion, the best chicken wings in town here are at Shakespeare's. I learned this from my trainer at that phone sales job that I had for 4 weeks. He was a big chicken wing connoisseur and wing king many years running at Brothers downtown. And he said the best chicken wings were at Shakespeare's.
Wing king, what's that even mean?
It's a contest Brothers had. Chicken wing eating contest.
Oh, eating, okay.
Yeah.
Not like making or grilling or barbecuing.
No. And he said the best ones were at Shakespeare's because they were crispy and meaty. And they had a jalapeno garlic sauce that he really liked. And so I tried them, and I've tried others since then. I have to agree. Now, I did try the Hilltops one time. Their wings itself may be just as good, but they only have like two sauce choices, so that's less exciting. But they have their wings may be, the chicken itself may be just as good. The Vine is famous in Iowa City for having really good wings. I haven't had them in a while. I don't remember them as great. I remember them as okay. Not super meaty or anything. Some places have really bad ones. Buffalo Wild Wings, just, I don't know, they just overdo it. Their sauces are way too, I don't know, their sauces are kind of annoying. I don't like Buffalo Wild Wings, especially. And that's their whole, I mean, they're a famous national restaurant chain built around the concept of these damn chicken wings.
Now, when you say sauces, do you mean, like, it's on the wings? It's somehow typically prepared on it, or you dip it in?
Typically, they are spun with a sauce, which means you take a big metal mixing bowl, you put some wings in it, you put some sauce in it, and then you toss them, not unlike a salad. I prefer my sauce on the side. And this complicates things sometimes. They keep getting confused by this. I prefer to be able to control my sauce intake. and also to, if I want to, have a wing that's just plain. So like when I go to Shakespeare's, get them plain. I get their barbecue sauce. Their regular barbecue sauce has proven to be my favorite there. On the side. And blue cheese on the side. Because that's another thing. To cool the heat of it, you can have blue cheese dressing on the side. I believe that's traditional. Some people, because we're Americans, have started switching out ranch on the side. And so now it's just become a thing. With chicken wings, you can get blue cheese or ranch on the side, even if what you're getting is not spicy.
Wait, if you get the wings...
And celery.
If you get the wings plain...
Yes.
How are they spicy?
They are not in my... That's exactly the thing. So in my case, not spicy, but because it's tradition now, I can get them with ranch or blue cheese, and I'm not going to pass up a cup of blue cheese dressing. Ever. Yeah. So, there you go.
Okay.
So that's what I get. I get barbecue on the side, and I get blue cheese dressing, Shakespeare's, and I have plain wings, and sometimes I eat a plain wing, sometimes I dip it in barbecue, sometimes I just dip it in blue cheese, sometimes I dip it in barbecue, then in blue cheese. I go crazy. I love it. It's wonderful. Make me want it now. We haven't had dinner yet. We're going to go out. I don't think that's where we're going to go. Now I'm a little sad, but it'll be okay.
Okay.
Also, I had my gaming group this week.
Oh, you did?
I'm mentioning that, again, because I'm high on pain meds and because we just got a couple Windows left. Yeah, my gaming group met mostly just to talk about what had happened, but we're continuing on. It's not going well at the moment. I need to get through this section. They're exploring some weird ruins, and I found in the book, the actual main book for the game I'm running, an example of, like, a maze-slash-dungeon sort of... This thing with some rooms, and they had traps in them, and they led here, and to get out, you had to do this and all this stuff. And I was like, this would actually work really well in here. So I just took it right out of the book and used it. It's not... It's a very old-school feel. Like, we like to role-play, so it's getting really kind of boring. Like, okay, there's doors on the right and left. Okay, let's go for the left. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's this kind of room. We encountered it before, blah, 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 blah. At this point, it just feels like it is an arduous thing for us to get through. So I'm a little annoyed with myself for that. And I'm going to remember this, so going forward, I'm not going to pull this kind of shit either. Also, as of last night, producer and I have started again with House of Cards.
Oh.
The American one.
Yeah.
So we started... We ended up
American
watching
one?
The Netflix one.
Yeah, there's a...
Well, first of all, it's based on a series of books from a guy in Britain. Second of all, it was like three different four-episode miniseries in Britain.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Hugely popular, hugely successful.
I did not know that.
And so, yeah, this is an American copy. It used to be a check and see, but you could get them all streaming on Netflix.
Well, yeah, you could, sure. Because it's a Netflix original, and they release
all the episodes at once.
Oh, the British ones. Okay.
So go look at them. Mm. My parents were very big fans of them. And it's definitely different because it's British politics.
Yeah, right.
It's a different vibe. So go check that out. Anyway, so we're now, yeah, we rewatched the first one, and now we've watched two more all last night. Enjoying it again. We may watch some more tonight.
Well, we only watched a couple of the first season.
Oh, I thought you watched the first season.
No.
Okay.
No, it was okay, but it just didn't really
resonate. We're sort of at a
resonate.
Quiet time for a lot of TV shows, so we thought we'd grab that.
Yeah.
And that's all we got, people. Hopefully next week we'll be a little more with it and have more interesting stuff to talk about. Crap to pull out of the hat, you know. you know, the reason we're here.
Right.
But for now, just be grateful that I'm here at all.
Yeah, we are grateful, actually.
Are you really?
Well, I am.
Yeah, but what about you? And you. And you. And then I point at the camera, you know. All right. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you next week, people.
Next week.
Maybe I won't be high. Maybe I'll be in a good mood because maybe I get to go back to work. I don't know. Maybe I won't realize that Skyrim is the fake world and this is the real world. I feel like that's the most likely one that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.